So we'll move on to our last case, Rujewitz versus Martin. Mr. Strelis.
Morning, Your Honors.
Morning.
This is the first courtroom that I have been in this case. I wasn't there when the injunction that the qualified injunction was entered in Madison County, restraining my client from coming within 100 feet of this young lady, subject to incidental contact and subject to professional decorum when that incidental contact would have been made.
But what is your response to the argument by the state that there's no property interest here? You know, you're complaining about procedures, which is fine, but there's no, your client didn't have any property right the way the Supreme Court has interpreted the word property in due process clauses.
Well, Your Honor, that's the heart of it, and I respectfully submit that there is a property right because of the nature of what occurred in this case. We had a two-day hearing.
Define what is the property right
property
that your
right.
client was deprived of?
Property right is the loss of time, compensation.
With property right, you have to have an entitlement. You have to have, the state has said, you have a right to a job, you have a right to property, physical property, what have you, and it can't be taken away from you without cause or something of that sort. So in employment cases, you know, the standard property right is you have an employment contract, you know, just terminable for cause. So what is it your client has?
That's it, an employment contract.
He has an employment contract. He is,
if I may,
terminable for cause?
An employment contract to the extent that it was not a unilateral expectation that he would have a job after they went through the disciplinary.
What are the terms of his employment contract?
Employment contract is that once he engaged in the process, and I think it's splitting hairs to say that that's a process versus a property right.
Does he have a contract that says he can't be fired without, you know, good cause or something of that sort?
No.
Well, isn't that critical?
I respectfully submit that it isn't, because in this particular case,
proposition that you don't need to have an employment contract that provides some degree of, you know, protection.
The state of Illinois elected. The state of Illinois elected to go through this process.
No,
there was
look,
a decision made.
The cases say again and again that to be deprived of process is not to be deprived of property.
At a certain point in time.
You're an at-will employee and they fire you, too bad, you know, but it's not a constitutional violation.
Your Honor,
how do you get around that?
Well, the way that I
reply brief, so
the way and I thought we stated it in our main brief that we submitted, and that is that there was a property right that was secured not at the beginning of the disciplinary proceeding but after a hearing was held, after a favorable ruling was made, after the secretary concurred with the conclusions that the discharge was unwarranted, that concurred in the finding of the panel that his due process rights were violated, and that it says that decision is final.
You have to have a deprivation of property. You're saying that a favorable procedural ruling converts at-will employment into tenured employment? Is that your argument?
No, I'm not saying that he would stand in a better position than any other employee after he went through the disciplinary proceeding. It would only relate to that period of time that he was deprived of compensation and also that they wouldn't constructively terminate his job in trying to comply with the dictates of the panel and the adoption by the secretary. What they did, in effect, Your Honor, and I understand where the court feels that there's a block here.
Do you have a case that supports your position?
I'm relying on the Supreme Court case, the Board of versus Roth.
Yeah, but that's a case of a person who has a teacher with a tenure contract.
In this particular case, why would we engage in this lengthy administrative proceeding? There's consideration from both sides to mutually agree that there's some defined property right that would come out of that proceeding.
You know, I think the problem here is that the disciplinary panel referred to a violation of Mr. Ruschowitz's due process rights. That language was really ill-advised, but in context, it can't be interpreted as revising the personnel policy manual to give him a property right in his job. I think if they hadn't used those words, maybe we wouldn't be here.
And I appreciate the court's understanding there. But in this particular case, there was an engagement. My client went through an expense. The state of Illinois went through an expense. The state of Illinois was to derive a benefit from this disciplinary proceeding. My client was to derive a benefit from this disciplinary proceeding if he prevailed. There was a contract. The state of Illinois benefited because they wanted to give the appearance that they were providing some due process even when they didn't have to, because the manual provides that they don't have to. And I think Judge Brower, in the opinion that was rendered before, went directly to that point, is that the manual excludes any property right. But here, there was a tremendous effort by both sides to reach a fair disposition, and then they terminated him constructively.
So you're penalizing the state for providing him with process.
Well, the state was to derive a benefit here, Your Honor, if they had prevailed.
But now their sensible position would be never give process to an at-will employee. Just fire them.
Well,
if you give them process, you're going to argue that, oh, well, that means they have tenure.
I mean, here they reinstated him. It's true that they transferred him to another location, and they denied him back pay. But all in all, it just seems like a reasonable compromise.
Well, it was a death sentence for him. You know, there's some reference in the complaint by the exhibits that had been attached that he suffered from a very serious condition of diabetes, where it had to be monitored at all times. I mean, there was some reference to it. You got to realize, we were here on a motion to dismiss. We didn't get into court. We weren't able to submit affidavits that would show the fact.
But why is it a death sentence to be sent to Effingham?
Because he had a family and he couldn't drive. And they knew this. They knew that there's no way that if there was a change in location, that he would continue as an employee. Now, I throw that out now. I understand that you say, where's your proof of that? Well, the problem is we never got to the point where I could prove that. So in that respect, I think this case is distinguishable. I think there is a contract that my client could rely on that escalated his job to a property right that he has some constitutional guarantee. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Strelitz. Mr. Barov.
Thank you, Your Honors. Brian Barov, Assistant Attorney General, on behalf of the Director Defendant of Transportation. I think the court is correct. I think the issue of whether he has a property interest is easily disposed of. All Mr. Ruschowitz is relying on is procedures. Procedures don't create a property right in employment. He's trying to establish a reliance-based theory of recovery here, which, again, is not accepted in Illinois law, is not accepted in federal law. again, the discipline he ultimately received here was entirely consistent with the panel's recommendation. The panel recommended that Mr. Ruzewicz received something less than a discharge. He received less than a discharge. He was, in fact, reinstated to his job. He was also, in addition, he was transferred to another district about 100 miles away in Effingham. And there's nothing in the allegations in his complaint, either in any of the attachments or the complaint, that suggests any particular hardship. He just makes a sort of a bald constructive discharge allegation, which under the present pleading standards is not sufficient. In order to establish a constructive discharge, you have to show that there's something about this job transfer that's, in a sense, you're being sent to career Siberia. It's unbearable working conditions. Health conditions are not sufficient. Commute time is not sufficient. And, again, there's just nothing that he's alleged that would suggest
anything. Are you arguing that Effingham is in Siberia?
No, absolutely not, Your Honor. The point would be...
It's not a very bad town. I've been there a couple of times.
Under the standard...
I wouldn't want to live there, but it's, you know...
under the standard, Your Honor, if he could show that this was sort of a dead-end position, but this
just,
was...
Just for, as an academic thing, you're not taking the position that he had a right to the job, do you?
No, not at all.
They could fire him for anything.
They can fire him for any reason.
Now, why are you standing here arguing about it?
I'd be happy to sit down, Your Honor.
Sounds like a solid idea.
Thank you. And we would just ask
thank
the district court's
decision. Thank you, Mr. Barrow. And Mr. Strelis, do you have anything further? You have another minute, if you'd like.
No.
Okay, well, thank you very much to both counsel. Court will be in recess until 9:30 tomorrow.